just everything that was there. And I was so pleased to be able to come back. I haven't been back in 9 years until last month. So now I've been back 2 times in under 2 months. That's bizarre to me how the Lord works. But I met with Pastor John Bell and our elder Tony Macy from our church. He was out here with us. And we just sat down to talk about everything. And I'll tell you, I'm so stoked to see that John Bell is still. I mean, let's be real. We're just men. And he's faithfully teaching the Word of God. Simply teaching the Word and teaching it soundly. And I sat in here on a Wednesday night about a month ago and just thought, this is just the coolest thing, that the Lord blesses His Word. Through the adversity, through all the trials, through all the different things, here's a man that's just going to commit himself to the Word, and a body that commits himself to the Word, that's it, man. That's where the blessing lies. Amen? And so this morning, we're going to be talking about a loyal heart. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 25. That's the Old Testament. It comes after, believe it or not, 1 Chronicles, so go look for it. 2 Chronicles 25 is what we're looking at. And at the end of the day, there's 3 things in this section about a loyal heart. First of all, is we're going to have to trust in Jesus. And if we don't trust in Jesus and turn to other things, it will result in turmoil. So trust, turning, turmoil, okay? Alliteration, come on, right? That took me a while to get all the T words, but there we go. But no, I'm looking at the passage, and this is life for all of us. We're going to be looking at a king named Amaziah. Amaziah was the king over an area called Judah. It was the southern kingdom of Israel at this time. The kingdom has been split, right? So we're in the era of kings. And Amaziah is overseeing this region where really they're the people of the Lord. They, more often than not, I'm sure Pastor John has taught you through these sections, where Israel, they were children of God, but at this point, they're apostate. They're walking opposite of the ways of the Lord. But in Judah, more often than the northern kingdom, they're walking after the Lord. But even then, they're still just messing up a lot. And I hope we can all relate to that, by the way, right? We don't look down on them at that. We look at it as an example to learn and glean from, because we know that's us. And so as I look at this section, we go, okay, King Amaziah, he needed to trust, and instead he turned, and eventually turmoil came. The same thing will happen in our lives if we don't trust in Jesus. In the simplicity of being in the Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we want to know who the Lord is and know what His will for our life is, we need to be seeking after Him in prayer, being in the Word and staying in fellowship with Spirit-filled believers. And that's what I love about this church. I know that all happens here. So if you're at 2 Chronicles 25, say I'm there. All right, let me pray over the Word and then we'll get into it. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning, Lord. Father, I thank You for just the opportunity to be back here in Texas, Lord. And just, I love the way You work, Lord. Thank You for just having me here. I just thank You for everyone that's here this morning, Lord. I pray that You would give all of us just eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord. Father, that You would speak to our hearts, Lord, and just prepare us now to just receive Your word, Lord. We love You and praise You, and we expect to hear from You this morning, Lord, because we know You're good like that, Lord. So we love You and praise You and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first thing we're going to see here is that Amaziah begins in what seems like some form of trust in the Lord. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles. It says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And so it's interesting. This chapter begins with almost like, you know when you watch a movie and sometimes it tries to tell you this is what the movie's going to be about, right? And then the movie starts from the beginning and plays out. What we're being told is this is Amaziah's life. He started out doing things that looked like he had a heart for the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And I don't know about you guys, but this strikes me because, A, I'm a pastor, right? So guess what I do for a living now, praise the Lord? I get to work at a church. It's really easy to look like everything's good. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Everything's great. This is awesome, right? I don't know if you guys know this, but even if you're not a pastor, you come into the church. I don't know what goes down in the parking lot in your car, but there's magic holy ground outside where everything's better now. We're at church. We have to put on the face. And we walk in, and I'm doing right, and everything's good. But in the heart, what's really going on in there? And see, I think about, I believe it's 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, for the Lord does not see as man sees. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And man, that's a verse that convicts me constantly being a guy that's kind of expected to always be on Sunday, right? You have to be ready to be the strong one. And there's days where I have to just come for the Lord and say, was I doing that on an outward appearance that looked like, man, I'm doing the right things, but is my heart really loyal to the Lord? Is it trusting in the Lord? And see, growing up in a Christian home, my dad was a worship leader at Calvary Chapel, Pasadena, for years and years. Sat under sound teaching. I went to Christian high school, graduated Christian college, right? But I came out somehow out of that system not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't know if that strikes any of you in the room, but it's one of those things where, to me, I was doing Christianity through tradition, but not through devotion. And so my heart was not loyal to the Lord. I could like speak churchanese with the best of them, right? And Christianese, and oh yeah, I know where John 3:16 is, we're saved by grace. But then what I did is like Hebrews 10:29 talks about, I just trampled that grace. I went out and continued to sin. I haven't read Romans 6:2 yet that says you don't continue in sin just because grace is there. But see, to me, it was like, well, I'm saved. Like, I'm as Christian as I am Italian. I got it through my dad, right? Like, that's it. It's group coverage insurance, right? And it turns out that's not how it works. It's not how any of this works, right? That commercial, I always think about that. But you have this idea of, here's Amaziah. And he's going, I'm checking the boxes. I'm the king of God's people, Judah. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But we're told right from the beginning, but his heart, man, his heart wasn't really after the Lord. And you see, when it's convenient for a king of Judah, when it makes political sense, let's check the box. Yeah, I'm a Christian, man. But then in private, what's happening in here? And I don't know if that hits you. That hits me on a level where I'm like, I don't want to just have the outside thing. But you know what's so cool is when the inside gets right, that fruit comes out of your life. It doesn't come about what do I look like to man. It's who do I look like before the Lord. And what comes out of that is actually a presentable person that actually, Lord willing, if we're walking in the Spirit, will actually be something that looks like what the boxes checked are, right? The Lord's so good to do that through the fruit of the Spirit. And so it continues in verse 3. It says, now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. However, he did not execute their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. And so what's this doing is it's setting up a kind of just a register of, hey, here are some things that Amaziah did. We're talking about him doing the right things before the Lord. We're going to get to the part where we see that his heart's not loyal, but here are some things he's doing right. And honestly, we read that and go, wait a minute, he's like killing people. That's the right thing? We're talking about justice in this case. His father, Joash, also a king, if you remember in 2 Chronicles 24, was murdered by these men because they didn't like the king. And it's funny because the reason they didn't like the king is because he departed from the Lord and went and chased all these idols and stuff. And the people didn't like it, so they murdered him. But that's not why. We don't go kill someone because they don't follow the Lord. Go read about the Crusades, right? That's the wrong thing that we do with the Word of God. But in this case, we think about like Micah 6:8, right? It says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so Genesis 9:6 tells us that man's blood, when it's shed, there needs to be other men's blood shed for that because man is made in the image of God. And I love it because the first chapter of Genesis tells us we're all made in the image of God. There's no place for racism. There's no place for any kind of discrimination because at the end of the day, Imago Dei, right? We're all made in the image of God. And so what Amaziah says here is, hey, since you guys wrongly murdered my father, justice is going to be served here. But I love it because he still relies on the Word and says, I'm not going to kill all their kids, though. And you might say, well, good job, Amaziah. Like, that's an honorable thing, right? But here's the deal. He's a king. And if you've ever watched, like, any of these, I don't know, movies about kings, Game of Thrones, or any of that stuff, there's this idea that when you come into the kingdom, you're going to kill off anything that's a threat to you. But it shows that he wasn't threatened by man. He was trusting in the Lord in some form and fashion, saying, Lord, I'm going to honor your word. I won't kill all the children because I'm just going to trust that you're going to establish me. I won't go out in my strength and overstep your word. And does that make sense to you guys? So there's this level where he's respecting the word of God and he's walking in it and he's doing that well. But I love this verse. It's actually out of Deuteronomy 24:16 that's quoted here. the idea that a father is responsible for his own sin and a son is responsible for his own sin. And I don't know if there's anyone in this room. I'll be honest, I don't really have this issue. I'm blessed with godly parents and good parents. But I've met people that say, man, I just can never be anything in the Lord because of what my father did, because of what my mother did. Or I can't go serve at the church because my children are walking apostate to the Lord. And at the end of the day, you go, well, praise the Lord. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if my parents are Christian. It doesn't matter if my parents aren't Christian. It doesn't matter if they know Jesus or don't know Jesus. Praise the Lord if they know Jesus. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to make a personal commitment to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And you see, Jesus said it himself in John 5:24. This to me is the gospel summed up. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. And you shall not come into judgment, but you've passed from death into life. That's Jesus' words. Don't think that man just made up like John 3:16 or made up this idea of the gospel. That's Jesus' words. That's a faith statement. Believe in my words and the one who sent me, Jesus says. I don't know about you guys, but when you believe something, you live accordingly, right? For me, I believe in gravity. I don't jump off of buildings, right? Basic principle, right? Here we go. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, I honor his words. I walk in his ways. It's through the power of the Spirit. And let's be clear. I fall, I fail, but it's time to get up. It's time to continue in the Spirit. We're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this morning, if there's anyone in this room by chance that has not already done that, you might say, well, that sounds great, but how do I get that, what Jesus was talking about? Romans 10:9-10 says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because with the mouth you confess, and with the heart you believe, and you're justified through those statements, through those things, through those actions. So it's still just a faith thing, but when you truly believe something, you're going to live accordingly, right? And so that's how we get that gospel, and Amaziah was going to have to make his own decision to follow the Lord. He couldn't rely upon his father's decision. But you see, he was raised in a way to where he's like, all right, I'm checking the boxes, I'm doing great. But I look at this, look at verses 5 and 6. We start to see a little bit of leaning into himself here. It says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, according to their father's houses, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them to be 300,000 choice men that were able to go to war, who could handle spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. And so we look at this and go, again, just kind of cataloging the things he's doing as a king. And if we looked at this, we'd say, well, he's a pretty good king, right? Because, I mean, any good nation needs to have a good army. You need to have organization and order. It's one of the things that makes the United States like the nation it is, right? We have this ordered military that protects us, that watches over. And you go, that's a good thing. But see, as he's doing it, what we see here, did you guys know at any point where he sought the Lord in any of this? Did he say, okay, Lord, these are your troops, this is your nation, these are your resources. What should I do with them? We don't see that from Amaziah. And I'll be honest with you, for me, for any other believer, that should be like the first thing, right? Anytime we're about to make a decision. And what's happening here is he's preparing for a battle. Like, dude, you could die out there. Do you really want to just not consult the Lord? You're supposed to be the Lord's kingdom. It should be, if you're claiming to be the Lord's kingdom, you should check with the Lord before you do anything, right? And how often we find ourselves going, listen, look it, I'm really good about administration. I'm really good about organization. I'm strong in these things, man. I'm good. Look, it's worked out so far. And as he's doing this, he goes, okay, I have 300,000 men that are of Judah. But it's interesting, he looks at it and says, nah, I don't think that's good enough. I don't think what the Lord has given this kingdom is enough for me. I'm going to go to the other kingdom, Israel, and I'm going to hire out 100,000 more soldiers. And see, this is the thing we're going to see in this chapter, that the Lord basically comes and says, you should have sought me before you did any of this. I could have saved you so much harm, so much struggle, so much trouble, if you would have just sought me before you started resting in your own strengths. They sound like good ideas, and honestly, other nations did these things. You would hire mercenary troops a lot of the time. But here's the deal. Judah's not supposed to be like the other nations. Judah is Israel. They're supposed to be governed by God. And how many times we say, well, everyone else is doing this. This is what makes sense. But you're not like everyone else. You're filled with the Spirit of the living God. And the only way to use that accordingly is to actually take that to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so as we see this, it's interesting. As you read it the first time, you're just like, okay, so what? He's putting an army together. But I also think about the fact that he took 100 talents of silver. And whose silver is that? That's not really Amaziah's silver. It's the people of the Lord that tithed in, that paid their taxes into the kingdom, and it was really the Lord's provision for the kingdom. And he says, I'm going to take your money, God. I'm not going to consult you on what I'm doing with it. I'm going to rest in my strength and use it however I want. And dude, if that's not conviction, how many times do I go, okay, the Lord gave so I can give my 10% and I can do whatever I want with the other 90. It's like, oh man, that's trouble, right? That's just trouble. I mean, keep your 10% at that point if you're trying to do that, because you're just not going to be able to do what the Lord is calling you to do with those resources. And beyond that, spiritual gifting. Go beyond finances. What has the Lord given you that you've just assumed, like, oh, this is for this thing? I have administration gifts. I'm going to use it to get rich in business. Praise the Lord if you're good at that stuff. But when you submit to the Lord, man, what kind of awesome things you can do for the kingdom with those things. But see, they were given to you to use for his glory. But when we take him out of it, man, we find ourselves in big trouble. And so Amaziah is making these deals, and he's basically setting up a way to get more men. It makes me think of Psalm 118:8. It's literally the middle verse of the Bible. It says it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And see, right now, he's not trusting the Lord. He goes, these resources aren't enough that you've given me. These men aren't good enough. I'm just not trusting. And I think about Zechariah 4:6, right? Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. Zechariah 4:6. This is how we're to live our life. Not by my power, not by my might, but by the Lord. Amen? All right, so look at here. Amaziah didn't seek the Lord, but the Lord starts seeking Amaziah. Look at verse 7. It says, but a man of God came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim, which is another reference to Israel. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. And I look at this, and this is wild. Because what this is the Lord trying to reach Amaziah. Amaziah in his disobedience, Amaziah in his ignorance, Amaziah in his flesh. The Lord sends this man of God and says, I need to get your attention because I love you. I don't want you to destroy yourself. I have a plan for you, and you're not walking in it. Is that not the heart of the Lord towards us every day as believers? He's there to guide us through his word, through spirit, through fellowship of the brethren, right? To get together like this and watch how people, when I'm weak and you're strong, we balance each other. And when I'm strong, you're weak, we balance each other through the spirit, encouraging each other through the word. And so the Lord sends this, I love it, unknown man of God. That hits me because John Bell has to like give like an introduction to me. He's an assistant pastor at this little church in Pomona. Like, who the heck am I, right? I'm nobody. But, and there's oftentimes I'm like, well, I'm not Greg Laurie. I'm not Chuck Smith. I'm not Billy Graham. But this guy doesn't even have a name in this section. And he essentially saves the whole kingdom from destruction in this battle. Don't think you're a nobody in the Lord. When you're submitted to the Lord, you have the word of God in your mouth, you're going to be used for great things. And so this guy comes out here, and he basically says, look, if you do this, you're going to be unequally yoked. That's the term we use in the New Testament, right? From 2 Corinthians 6:14, the idea of not marrying up unbelievers and believers and light and darkness being intertwined. He basically says, the Lord's not with Israel right now. They've walked away from the Lord. And when you join up with them, guess what? They're walking contradictory to the Lord. How can I bless my word and say it's true if someone's going to contradict it and be blessed by it? They can't do it. They have to follow the word of God to bring true blessing. And now you're going to yoke up with them, and even if you did, Amaziah, try to follow the Lord, it's going to be hard. You're going to be trying to pull up people that want to pull you down. And I don't know about you guys. Felipe, I'm going to use an example, my man. Felipe traveled with me, And I look at him. He's much bigger than me, by the way. He's a strong man, right? I'm up here on the stage. If I tried to pull Philippe up, you know how difficult that would be just to get him up here? And then, but for me to come down, he's got gravity on his head. It's just like, tug, fall over. And here's the deal. I have the Spirit of God in me, but guess what I also have? My flesh. But people that are walking in the flesh, all they got is the flesh. So when I want to do things according to the Spirit and I'm yoked up with someone that's all flesh, they're like, I don't understand that. But let me suggest something in the flesh. Guess what? I'm with it a little bit because I have flesh. But if we're both in the Spirit and we want to do things in the Spirit, there's understanding there that says, yeah, that's the best thing to do. I have a couple friends, brothers, that have a business together out in California. One of them's a believer, one of them's not. And he's like, dude, my brother just always wants to cheat taxes. He's always, and I have to submit him. I'm like, I have to hide them from him that I'm paying our taxes because he's like, I can't stand the government. I'm like, that's terrible. But his brother doesn't know the Lord and believes, hey, dude, these guys are robbers. I don't need to pay to them, right? But at the end of the day, like I think of like 1 Peter 2:17, right? It's like, honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. And it's a lowercase k in that verse. It's like, honor the government, honor the people around you. It's a testimony in the sense of, as long as they don't tell us not to worship Jesus, we submit to those things. It's order. God put those in place to represent even his order over our lives, it says, right? But there's this idea of don't be unequally yoked, and I don't know what that is for anyone in this room. If it's a business thing, if it's a relationship, a friendship, I don't know, just be wise. I've seen people, we were just talking about this the other day, hitch their wagon, so to speak, to guys that are not about walking after the Lord. But yet they say, I want to grow in the Lord. Why can't I grow in the Lord? You're like, dude, you're surrounded by guys that don't want to walk with the Lord. It's real basic, right? But see, Amaziah didn't seek the Lord in this. He makes that agreement that says, hey, let's go ahead and make this deal. And so look what happens right here. This, to me, it reveals Amaziah's heart. Verse 9, it says, then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents? Which I have given to the troops of Israel. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Amen, right? I'll tell you, that is the verse why I'm teaching this passage this morning. You see, I look at this, and clearly in the original true application here, okay, bear with me, I'm not going to go heresy on you, but the actual application, first of all, is obviously pertaining to Amaziah being in sin, making a deal with sin and saying, it's cost too much. I will lose that money if I'm in it. I don't know if you've ever been in a business deal or a relationship or a job where you're like, I know this isn't the place that the Lord would have for me, but I'm already invested. Do you know how expensive it would be to leave that situation, right? And Amaziah looks at it, and basically what he's saying here, he says, how can I afford to give up such a thing? But the man of God says, look, at the end of the day, how can you afford not to? It's sin. It's destructive. But I'm in, and it makes so much sense practically. And the Lord would say, I can give you so much more than this if you obey my word. If you trust in me. If you walk in my ways. You could have saved that 100 talents if you would have just sought me first. And I'm able to give you even more than that. But now you're in the whole 100 talents. And you're trying to find, like, how to hold on to these things. To me, if you get this word from the man of God, a prophet that shows up, and your question is, well, what about the money? That's revealing where your heart is. And remember, it said that he started out doing things that were right before the Lord, but his heart wasn't loyal. And it's scary because the very first opportunity, really, that he has where he's called out to repent, he's like, ah, man, money, though. His mind's not on repentance. Well, his mind's on his money, his money's on his mind, right? A great prophet once said, but no. Yeah, Snoop Dogg, maybe? I don't know. Like, we won't quote him in any more studies, guys. I'm so sorry. But no, that's the deal. It's so quickly revealed. I'm from California. So there's this idea that, man, why are you chasing these things? It's just his heart is so divided in the Lord here. And so that's the first clear. It's time to repent. Don't think about this. You made an agreement with sin. Don't let your yes be a yes in sin. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever heard someone say that? Well, I got to let my yes be yes. So you're going to continue in sin? That's not what that verse means. Like, just be honorable. Get away from sin. Run from that stuff. Don't play with it. But I'll tell you my secondary application. I kind of flip it. And bear with me, but as Pastor John shared, which is awesome, he prepped the room here for me. my wife and I lived in Texas in 2011, and we came here. This was our home church. We came out here because I was actually working with my cousin's company, who's here. Yeah, all right, awesome. And so it was a blessing to come out here. We were newlyweds, no kids. We got out here, and once we were here, honestly, you take two kids from Los Angeles, right? Kids, we're like 25. We're Amaziah's age, basically. We're out here just like, man, we miss our friends. We miss pastrami at midnight. We miss this, like things that don't matter, but you're young and dumb. And so you're like, but, you know, what am I supposed to do here? And I found myself a lot of free time because of the job that I was in. I was working from home, and I got to serve here a lot. And so I was here every Sunday, every Wednesday, just growing in the Lord here, got opportunities to serve. It was such a blessing. But then the day we felt like the Lord called us back. We felt like it's time to start a family. We feel like the Lord's calling us back to California, which is crazy because we moved all our stuff here. Like, we're staying. And the Lord calls back, and we're like, okay, let's go back to California. And it's crazy. The Lord brought me a job out there. I was a director of marketing at a tutoring company out there. But in the meanwhile, pretty miserable in that job, honestly, because I knew I was called to ministry, but the Lord showed me quickly, this is ministry. You don't have to work at a church to be in ministry. Amen? You guys know this. You can work for some crazy bosses in a crazy situation, but until the Lord is ready to take you out of that spot, you're trusting him, you're seeking him. And I'll tell you, I saw him every day driving to that old job in tears, like a sissy, right? Like, Lord, why am I here? You've forgotten me. And then the Lord just changed my heart and showed me, this is ministry, man. Like, what are you doing? You got to love these people. And so I started to love the people, and it's crazy. My head pastor, Joe Tata at Pomona Valley, small church. We went back. We went to Pomona Valley instead of Pasadena. It wasn't our home church. We're just kind of getting settled in there. And Joe called me and said, hey, we're talking about bringing you on staff. And it just blew my mind, right? So that was 4 years ago that I went on staff. I've been at the church 6 years. And I got to tell you, I'm working with my best friend, Joe Tata. Don't tell my wife. He's my best friend, guy friend, okay? My wife's my best friend. Let's reverse that, rewind that. She might be watching online. So, But I have my best friend I'm working with. I'm doing a little bit of worship, which I love to lead worship. I'm doing a little bit of teaching. I'm doing books. I'm doing accounting. I'm doing branding. I'm doing all these things that are fun things and good things I know are strengths in the Lord. But then one day the Lord says, it's time to go. I'm like, no, it's not. That's okay. That can't be right. I've prayed for this. You're providing here. I'm staffed. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not making money. I'm not losing money. I'm breaking every month. That's the dream, man. Like, they're paying my rent to do ministry. This is awesome. Not why I do it, but what a blessing, right? And I started wrestling with this thing, but Lord, this is crazy. You are providing where you've guided. And the Lord started to show me, look, you're going to have to trust me again. You're way too comfortable right now. You're working with your best friend. You're teaching. You're doing all those things. That's great. You live in a great place, and you're your family. My in-laws are 5 minutes away. My parents are 5 minutes away. My kids love it. And I said, I don't know, Lord, this is crazy. And so I told my wife that morning, I said, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to go read my devotion. That day, I'm in 2 Chronicles 25. I just read a chapter a day, listen to a study on it, you know. So I'm in this chapter that day. And I read this verse because I'm going upstairs wrestling with the Lord, but you're providing for me. You're giving me a paycheck to do what I love to do. And I read this verse and it says, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And the Lord punched me in the mouth with that verse. So what are you doing? And I'm not talking about money much more than this. We're talking about ministry. We're talking about service unto the Lord, opportunity. He says, yeah, it's going to be hard. You're going to go back to a place you left 9 years ago. That's embarrassing a little bit, right? Like, I'm just being real. Like, big announcement, we're moving to Texas. 9 months later, hey, guys, welcome back. Here we are, right? Now it's like, we're crazy. We're moving back again, right? Thank the Lord it's in vogue right now. Everyone's coming, right? Everyone's coming over here right now. California's crazy. So, but not the reason we're leaving. We felt like the Lord was just stirring that in us. And so I'll tell you at the end of the day, guess what I have to do in this? I have to trust the Lord. I have to seek the Lord. This isn't something I created. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. We're trying to get out of here and catch a flight, right? So, but we'll tell you. It's just amazing to watch how the Lord works. When you seek him, he answers. When you come to him with intention, say, Lord, I don't know why you're even doing this. I trust you because you're good. And I got to think that at some point you're going to bring it all together. You're going to give something greater than this for your glory, for the edification of the body, to the testimony of the world, and for my sanctification. Amen. And so, long story long, we wound up at McKinney. That's the city that came up. We've never been there, even though we lived in Firemount, didn't know where it was. I thought it was hours from here when I told John Bell. I felt kind of bad afterwards. Like, I'm going to open a church 40 minutes from you. I mean, that's, I don't know. I thought it was hours away. And he's just been like, this has been the big thing. Pastor Joe Todd at my church, Pastor John Bell, these are guys I love and respect. And they're just like, man, this is the Lord. But man, thank the Lord for godly counsel, godly friends, and for the word of God. And so that's where we're at. And that's kind of, I just ask for you guys to keep us in prayer. We're looking at probably the end of January. We don't know what this looks like. It's probably going to be in the home, in our living room. We don't even have yet because I don't have a job yet, right? So things that you got to trust the Lord in. But all of us have had to trust the Lord in something, right? Maybe some of you having to trust the Lord right now. I'll tell you, you trust him, he's faithful. Amen? Amen? And so look at verse 10 and 12. It says, so Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. Also, the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock so that they were dashed in pieces. Holy moly, right? So you look at that, and this is a wild section. Again, we're talking about justice, by the way. We're talking about war. We're talking about a fight. The Edomites that are fighting against Judah here, a persistent example of the flesh towards the children of Israel throughout Scripture. And basically what's happening here is the Lord says, we got to kill the flesh. We got to take that out. Because you're walking in my ways, they oppose. Here's the deal. Esau, the head, the father of the Edomites, right? He had every opportunity to walk in his birthright. But remember, he sold his birthright because he wanted the benefits, but he didn't want the lifestyle of the birthright. And that's the whole people. For the most part, the Edomites were that way. They said, we don't want anything of the Lord. We're not going to convert and follow your God. Instead, we're going to fight your God. And when you try to fight God, you end up getting dashed in pieces. That's just what it comes down to. And I don't mean to be gruesome about it, but that's true, right? Like, you know, fall upon the rock, lest the rock fall on you. This is the reality of Scripture. But these people, they walk away like, man, we're so greatly angry with them for sending us away. I mean, you can imagine that conversation, right? I mean, Judah tells Israel, hey, you guys aren't good enough to fight for us. Like, I don't know. Like, that's almost what it could sound like to unbelievers, right? Because remember, even if he goes and says, the Lord has shown us this, Israel's apostate right now. And they're like, who are you to judge me, man, to tell me I'm not holy? You know what we're going to do? We're going to leave here very upset, and you broke our deal. We're mad at you. We hate you, essentially, is the situation. But we see the victory came for the obedience. They obeyed the Lord, and victory came in that situation. But look at verse 13. It tells us a little more about this. It says, but as for the soldiers of the army which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not go with him to battle, they raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon, killed 3,000 in them, and took much spoil. And you're like, that's terrible. Amaziah obeyed the Lord, right? Why is there consequence? Because it didn't have to be there, but there's always consequence to sin. A little bit of sin gets consequence. A lot of sin gets more consequence. That's generally how it goes, right? That's a pretty good principle in the Bible. Grace is there. Don't get me wrong. There's times where we all know this. Where we go, thank the Lord. Somehow there wasn't a great consequence, but we know there's something there. There's always a consequence. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, practically, there's some consequence. And had he never made the agreement with Israel, if he sought the Lord first, he wouldn't have reached out to these guys, right? But he didn't seek the Lord. He sought him too late. Well, later, I should say. The Lord still interceded and gave him victory, but there's a consequence of sin. These guys are mad because, A, you've called them unholy, and they're mad about that. B, they wanted in on the spoils of the war, right? They were going to go fight a war. You get to keep all the spoils divided up. They're like, dude, we're mercenary troops, but we're going to get our piece of that spoil. And they're also thinking, we're mercenary troops. We just want to fight people, right? You turn away guys that are fighters and make them angry, guess what they're going to do? They're going to fight. And these guys, Judah's out at war. So these guys come in and go, dude, we're going to ravage your families, your home, your gold, your stuff, we're going to take it all. And this is what sin does. You think that, okay, finally I obey the Lord, so everything's going to be good. There's some kind of consequence that can come from those things. And what we want to learn, just seek the Lord from the get-go. Trust the Lord as much as possible, as early as possible, as soon as possible. Because when you don't, there's going to be consequence. And so we look at that, we see the situation. And we see this trusting in the Lord. He obeyed the Lord eventually. But look at the turning that happens here. Look at verse 14 through 16. It says, now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand?" So it was, as he talked with him, that the king said to him, "Have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed?" Then the prophet ceased and said, "I know that God is determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice." I don't know. I can't say that I directly relate to the idea of maybe setting up a little wooden image as my God. But I don't know if you guys ever do this. The Lord delivers you in a situation, you're like, "The Lord's so good." Next step, turn away from the Lord. Back to trusting in other things. The Lord got me to this place. Cool, I'm good. Now I'm going to cruise and trust in myself and other stuff. And it's funny because we look at it and go like, "Oh, how embarrassing. He's worshiping wood and stone and stuff." But I got news for you. We worship wood homes. We worship paper money. We worship steel cars. Like career or paper resume, right? Like we're just into these things that at the end of the day, we have to maintain them. They're powerless. Like in the sense, like money has to be spent to be used, right? Money itself cannot spend itself. We have to be involved. We have to maintain it. We have to save it. We have to plan it. For a home, homes fall apart. You got to fix them, right? Cars literally depreciate, like guaranteed. You roll a new car off the lot, it's half the value. You're like, "That's crazy," right? People put money into cars and you're like, "It's depreciating. That's crazy." But at the end of the day, we look at this situation and I go, "Man, these things," it says here, "they couldn't even save the people that worship them that you beat. Are you crazy? Amaziah, what's wrong with you?" And here's the problem. Really what this is the first opportunity Amaziah got to worship something different, he did. I don't care if it would have been women or pride in some way or these little wooden gods. It shows that he had a heart that had space in there that didn't belong to the Lord. And the first opportunity he got, he said, "I'm going to trust in those things." The importance of having a completely loyal heart to the Lord, filled with the Spirit of God. When you fill your heart with the Spirit, you can't put anything else in there, right? You fill a cup up with water, you can't fill it with orange juice. It's going to pour over. Like, be filled with something. Be filled with the Spirit. I think about our pastor in Pasadena. He always said, "Look, we have two dogs in the fight, right? And which one wins the fight is the one you feed the most. We have our flesh, we have our spirit. Which one are you feeding?" And to me, I go, "Man, how much stuff am I taking in?" Whether it be wisdom and intellect from the world, whether it be entertainment. And I'm not trying to be legalistic. Hear me out on this. That's cool. Do your thing as the Lord leads you. But man, make sure your heart is fully loyal to the Lord in it. Does that make sense? And so we look at this, and the first opportunity he gets, he says, "Man, I'm going to chase after other things." And so I see here, it's crazy because, talked about this before, here's another man of God showing up. "You've sinned once back here, Amaziah, and the Lord loves you enough to step in and tell you, don't do this. If you obey my word, I'll deliver you," right? And he did, the first time. The second time, the voice of the Lord comes, he's there worshiping his little chia pets or whatever they are, and he's like worshiping the Lord, right? And or worshiping these things as his Lord. And this man shows up and says, "Hey, are you crazy? The Lord just delivered you. Why are you going to things that can't save you?" And he says, "Silence. Why should you die? I'm the king, man. No one tells the king what to do." Pride. "You can't judge me. Don't bring that rebuke to me." I don't know if you've ever been in the side of either having that godly rebuke, because let's be clear, not everyone has that ministry. Be prayerful when you go to rebuke somebody, okay? Make sure you're really upset to have to rebuke someone, like in a sorrowful way, or else that's not your rebuke to give, I believe, right? If you're excited to rebuke someone, get away from that rebuke. But you've been on that side where you go rebuke someone, they're like, "Dude, who are you to judge me? Show me in the word." You show them the word. They're like, "No, I still don't want it." Or I've been on the side of receiving that godly exhortation and rebuke. Where I go, "Dude, man, I didn't even see it like that." Like, praise the Lord. If I'm right about it, I say, praise the Lord. Let's be clear. It doesn't happen immediately in my heart. There's a lot of times I'm like, "Dude, that guy's crazy." And I go home and the Lord convicts me. And I'm like, "Man, he's just showing me in his word that was right." But what this king does is he says, "Hey, I'm just going to silence the voice of God in my life. And somehow maybe that'll change the message of the voice of God." That's scary territory. Because guess what stands forever? The word of God. And when we say, "Well, I don't want the word. If I quiet it, it'll go away." That's just not how it works. And so the prophet tells the king here, "Dude, you're going to destroy yourself because of this. The Lord's going to destroy you, but you're choosing to be destroyed. It's your choice that leads to the judgment. And I'll tell you this morning, Jesus says, I believe, it's actually John that writes this in 1 John 2, he says that Jesus can be your advocate. But we know that it also says in Acts that Jesus can be your judge. Jesus can be your judge or your advocate. Whose decision is that? It's mine. If I receive Jesus Christ, he's now the advocate that stands before me. His righteousness is bestowed upon me, and I have now a presence before the Lord of eternity to receive that from God. I have fellowship with God because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. Amen? Amen. But now if I say, I don't want that, I don't want to hear that message, guess what? Jesus is still going to be glorified, but now through judgment. So he's going to reveal and manifest himself either through judgment or salvation, but it's my choice to choose what he's going to do. And see, Amaziah says, nope, I don't want to hear it anymore. I want you to go away. And so look what happens in 17 through 20. We're almost done here. It says, now Amaziah, king of Judah, asked advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. Indeed, you say that you have defeated the Edomites and your heart is lifted up to boast? Stay at home now. Why should you meddle with trouble that you should fall? You and Judah with you. But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God that he might give them into the hand of their enemies because they sought the gods of Edom. So let me paraphrase what's happening here. You have this thistle, this Lebanon. We're like, what are these guys talking about, right? Giving daughters. This is an old school WWF pre-fight throwdown of words, okay? Dude, who do you think you are? I'm the world champion. You think you're great because you beat some lower card Edomite? I'm the champion, baby. I'm Israel. You can't beat me. And he says, oh, no, I'm going to, why don't you come to me? Come to my territory. That's crazy. He says, come fight me on my soil. Inviting the enemy in because of his pride. Thinks, I'm so strong because I've gotten victory in this thing. Which, by the way, whose victory was it? It's the Lord's victory. But he's turned to these false gods. And he's like, oh, I'm puffed up. I'm strong, man. No one can take me. I'm going to take on the champion. I'm going to beat him. And even the unbelieving Israel king's like, are you crazy right now? Don't meddle with me. Don't mess with me. I will defeat you. And it's just such a wild thing to think about. The only thing I could think beyond pride is that maybe this king of Judah, Amaziah, is thinking, man, you guys came in here, your troops killed my people, and I'm so fired up about it. Again, not seeking the Lord. He's just emotional. He's proud and emotional and going, I'm going to go get those guys. And at the end of the day, it tells us in verse 20, even though it was his pride that got him in the situation, the Lord was sovereignly in control. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but where you warn, maybe it could be with your own life, where you get warned. But I think about, as a pastor, there's been many times I've counseled young men, hey, don't do this thing. Don't do this thing. Please don't do this thing. And they go, you can't judge me. You don't know anything. And like a year later, they're back just destroyed and broken from the decisions that were made. And they say things like, well, how did you know it was going to come true? Well, hey, it replicates, right? We've seen this. All these examples are in the Word, and the Lord says in his Word, you've got to obey his Word. And when you walk in disobedience, it's destructive. When we give ourselves over to sin, when it's full, it leads to death, it says in the book of James, right? The wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. We don't want to play with it. But when we're proud, we don't hear it, we go out, we do crazy dumb things, right? But the whole time, I can't help but see the grace of God as he's trying to reach him before he does it. You don't have to do this, Amaziah. I'm sending you man after man that are men of God to tell you not to do that. Now, who are you to judge me? I'm going to do whatever I want. And well, he went from trusting, turned away, and now here comes turmoil, the final thing we're looking at. Look at verse 21 through 24. It says, so Joash, king of Israel, went out, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh. And he brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. So lot of distance. And he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house, the hostages, and returned to Samaria. Man, these are the harsh realities of not obeying the voice of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever watched a kingdom crumble like this in someone's life. Someone that was doing so well. And they're walking with the Lord, and the Lord is blessing just everything they're doing, it seems like. And at some point they say, you know, maybe I don't need the Lord. Maybe it's me this whole time that's been doing this. That's basically where Amaziah is. So I don't need to listen to anybody. I'm going to go fight this guy. He goes out there. Amen. His men get beat down. They flee. He himself gets captured. And then they come back and they start destroying the wall. And the walls, we know this, right? Remember, the whole book of Nehemiah is about going back and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Because at the end of the day, you need walls to defend your city. You need a border to defend your nation, right? Amen, that's right. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there, but here we are. But it's just the reality, right? You got to protect. There's a reason I lock my doors at night, right? I don't want people coming in that aren't supposed to be there, right? At the end of the day, in this case, man, those walls are important. Because this is supposed to be the land of God. And he watches over you. He's told you to put up walls just to protect yourself practically. But instead, you invited the enemy into your land. You said, hey, come up here and fight with me. I'm so strong, I can take on anything. Do you remember in Acts 19, the sons of Sceva? They were guys that thought that they could take this demon out of a man by claiming the name of Paul. And the demon said, hey, look, I know Jesus. I know Paul, but who are you? And they run out naked and bleeding. They're beat up, right? When you lose your clothes in a fight, you lost the fight, right? Like this, and there's seven of them. You're like, that's embarrassing, right? That's bad news. But it just shows you, man, when you trust in the flesh, when you assume you're so strong. And see, the sons of Sceva, they were called that because their father was Sceva, like this great Jewish, like, rabbi teacher. So they're like, well, our dad's important. So we're probably important too. Through tradition, we can go do anything powerful in the Lord. Turns out, no, you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord and a calling by the Lord to go fight such things. He had no relationship at this point, a healthy relationship with the Lord, no way. The Lord's trying to speak to him, he's ignoring it, and he's definitely not called to go fight this fight. And what happens is it ends up hurting not just him, but you see, when the wall is opened up, it leaves the whole land, all of his people that he's a leader over. It hurts all of them. Anything can come in. Animals can come in. People can come in and just start to take away the things, your crops, your gold. And that's what happens. They take all the gold. They even take the gold that was in the house of the Lord. And that strikes me. Because I don't know about you guys, but there's something about, we sang it this morning, right? The idea of let me die with a crucified Jesus. Let Jesus be my Savior at the end of my life. Because it doesn't matter if I start with the Lord. I got to end with the Lord. Amen? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's something where we want to go through it and continue with the Lord. And there's something about, at one time, people were obedient to the Lord and the Lord blessed it and there were treasures in the house of the Lord. But at this point, they've turned away from the Lord and all his treasures got stolen. And you go, man, physically they got stolen. I think just spiritually, you stay in that course. At some time, you can serve the Lord and build up those heavenly rewards. But if you walk away from it, you lose those things. If you don't end the race, you didn't really do what you're supposed to do. This is to end walking with Jesus. That should be our goal. And the only way we can do that is if we start every day with Jesus. Can't end with Jesus unless you start each day with Jesus. And so, unfortunately, look at where, I think about Proverbs 16:18, by the way, I should probably throw it out there. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that, this is the story that proves that correct, right? And we've all known them. We've all probably experienced these at times in our own life. But look at the final thing we see here. This is the true fall, the turmoil. Look at 25 to 28 and we're done. It says, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah from the first to the last, indeed are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made, speaking of the people, a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. And I don't know about you guys, you read that. We started with like a movie, right? Where at the beginning they say, this is the life of Amaziah, okay? He did right things before man and before the Lord, but his heart was not loyal. Here's the story. Here's the conclusion of the story. he ends up prisoner until the king dies. The king of Israel dies. Basically, the next king probably doesn't care that he has this king in prison, lets him go. But the last 15 years of his life, there's nothing to be written about them in the Lord. And he just honestly, he lived a meaningless life for the last 15 years of freedom. He was released, and I think about how he could have recommitted his life to the Lord and used that time. Was it Hezekiah, right, the king? I'm trying to draw from memory. He got extra years and was told by the Lord, you have time. Use them wisely. Here's a king, Amaziah, that says, man, I'm free. What I'm going to do is nothing of any kind of kingdom importance that can be mentioned in the Word of God. And that bums me out, right? And then on top of that, see, people looked at him and thought, dude, that's the king that, because of his pride, because of his ego, he got the wall destroyed. And he put my family at risk and your family at risk. So these guys get fired up and they're like, that's it. We're going to kill that guy. And history repeats itself. It's the same exact thing that happened to Amaziah's dad. He started well, turned to other gods. The people were mad about it and they killed him for it. Here's this guy. He said, right, a father's making his decisions, a son makes his decisions. And he's like, you know what decision I'm going to make? To do exactly what my father did. I don't know if we can all relate to that, but are we just not knuckleheads all the time? We just need to understand, man, the Lord is good. I need to trust in him, not turn away, and I'll avoid all that turmoil. And what I get instead is, again, blessing in the sense that God will be glorified by my life if I live for him. I will be sanctified as I'm filled with his spirit. Praise the Lord for that. I'll edify the body of Christ that I'm living with, right? That I'm with here. And then we'll testify to the world that God truly is the Lord of all. Amen? But we do that by deciding each and every day that our heart is going to be loyal to the Lord. And so this morning, I guess my question to you is this. How is your heart this morning? Are you trusting in Jesus today? And I don't mean just like checking the boxes. Are you trusting Jesus? And I'll tell you, this is a study for me as I prepared. I'm teaching this next week at my church to explain to people, hey, I'm in it, man. I got to trust the Lord. If I really am a Christian, a believer in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't call the shots. And if he tells me it's time to go, Lord, I don't have a job. I don't have a home. I don't have a church body. I don't have anything. Lord says, I'm able to give you much more than this. But you got to trust me. And I don't know what you guys are going through in the room, but I'm sure there's people. It's a crazy season right now. 2020, what's up, right? We're all feeling 2020 right now. And it's just crazy. Everyone's going, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord before you make some crazy decisions that result in turmoil. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we just, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and your love, Lord. And Father, I just pray this morning that you would just continue to speak to us, Lord, that through your word, through your spirit, you'd continue to make us more like you, Lord Jesus. That's our heart's desire. That's our cry unto you, Lord. Father, I pray that right now, just as you're praying, if there's anyone in the room right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has brought you here to be saved, to turn from your sins. If God has convicted you of your sin this morning, It's really a miracle. Jesus died for you and rose from the dead, and he's able to forgive you. So if you want to be a born-again Christian today, put your faith in Jesus, confess in your mouth, believe in your heart. You can ask Jesus into your heart right now, right where you sit in the silence of your heart. You just repeat after me if you desire, in your heart. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Fill me with your spirit. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, amen, man. I'm so thankful to be here with you guys this morning. Thank you for having me. Why don't we stand? We'll close with a song of worship.